Good morning and welcome to the roundtable and to our panel for this dreary Friday. It is raining, snowing, whatever, yucking out wherever you are. But we are we're staying dry in here, and hopefully you can as well. We welcome your comments at panel@wamc.org, panel@wamc.org. Let me introduce our panel to you this morning. We have a lot to discuss, and we'll get to those very important issues in just a moment. First and foremost, WAMC's Alan Chartok joins us. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, everybody. We have trouble in Appland, Joe. Our app is out, and it's going to be restored momentarily, we're told. But the good news is, Joe, we're hearing from a lot of people who are saying the app is out.
That's great. That means they're on the app, and that is wonderful. And I did have to just digest what you were saying when you said there was trouble in Appland. I was like, where's Appland? I don't
it's
know where
Lapland,
that is.
Actually.
I don't know where that is.
Yeah. Right next to Lapland, yeah.
That's right. So good news on that, and we'll let you know when it's back and up and running. But in the meantime, and you can still stream it, though, correct? If we go to the website, you can still stream it.
Sure. And I'm told that our wonderful Ashley Kinsley is on the job and has been working on it all morning long and is dealing with the people at the other end.
There we go. So that is good news in Appland.
Right.
Rosemary Armeo joins us. She is the director of the journalism program at the University at Albany. And good morning.
Good morning. I am sitting pretty this morning. We have chairs in the studio that actually I can fit in now. You can see more than just the top of my forehead.
But the question is, do your feet hit the floor?
My feet are touching the ground. Right, I don't feel like a troll anymore.
Okay. We got these cool new chairs in the studio, and it allows you to go up and down. The console is quite high. I mean, even for me being a tall guy, it's quite high. So it is nice to have these chairs that will bring people. It's like a barber chair.
Yeah,
it's very nice.
It's just great. I'm sitting pretty. Excellent.
Well, you're always sitting pretty.
Yes, indeed, indeed. Libby Post is in this morning. Barbara Smith could not be with us today. She was a little freaked out by the weather, so she stayed home. But Libby Post is here and answered the call at the last moment, and I thank you very much for doing
that. You're so welcome.
Thank you. All right, let's go to the news of the day and find out what's happening in the world. Will there be a time, because it seems like I say this every day, and I know I didn't used to say it every day, which was, well, today there's a lot going on in the news. And sometimes it's just really hard to know where to begin. So I
like the listener who wrote in to remind Libby of something you said when it looked like Hillary Clinton was going to win. What are we going to talk about after the election? Oh, wow. It's
right.
Going to be so dead.
There's so many things. There's a new revelation every day.
So let's begin with Michael Flynn. An official said investigators were willing to broker a deal with Michael Flynn, the former national security advisor. And he wants to talk. He has a story to tell, according to his attorney, but he does want immunity. And he wants to go before Senate and House investigators and tell his story, but again, to do this in return for immunity. The story that is going around, not only this part of it, but of course, words that come back to haunt you, is his speech during the Republican National Convention, in which he said the people around Hillary Clinton who had asked for immunity, and let's face it, when you ask for immunity, you are guilty of a crime. Okay, so what do we make of that? Alan, I'll begin with you.
Well, it's fascinating. If you think about it, my twin brother and I, when we were Rosemary out on Fire Island.
The hits keep coming.
Proof again. Right. He can bring it into any conversation. My hat is off to you.
It's
Alan.
Another adolescent story. Here we
right.
go.
Yeah. Exactly.
Angst. Adolescent angst.
We used to say to each other, and I'm sure you guys did with your siblings also, I have a secret. And the other guy would say, what's your secret? You'd say, no, you have to give me something or whatever as a result of that. And then I say, okay, here's what you wanted. Now, tell me your secret. And the brother would say, there's ice in the icebox. So in other words, you don't know what you're going to get before you give the immunity. And in law, of course, they always talk about taking an immunity bath, meaning that once you get that approval for immunity, then you can say anything or nothing, and that's what you have to worry about here.
I don't think that's the way it's going to work. I do not think he will get immunity, considering that he has already done things that are demonstrably criminal, i.e. not registering as a undercover agent for the Turks. So I don't think they're going to give it to him unless they have pretty good indications from him or his lawyer that there's good stuff coming. And from someone as high as Michael Flynn, that means it's Pence or Trump.
Right. The good stuff meaning that it would take down the president. Yes.
And I do admit that this is just like the health care bill. I know that worse things are coming, but I thoroughly enjoyed the moment when that bill failed, and I'm feeling the same way about Michael Flynn, who led the chant "Lock her up" on Hillary Clinton, is now in trouble for worse things than he ever accused her of. I am enjoying it.
I would remind you, Rosemary, for whatever it's worth, that the government has done some pretty strange things in order to get testimony, including Sammy the Bull and other people, letting them go for, you know, multiple murders so mm-hmm. that they can get the testimony. It depends. I'm sure you're right. I'm sure there'll be some sort of bickering about what's to come, what will be in that testimony.
And the other question being, and I'm sorry, Libby, we'll get to you in just for a moment, but the other question, of course, being if he is willing to tell his story and turn, as it were, is there another way of getting that information, meaning is that information
another
available
source.
Elsewhere, mm-hmm. another source of that information? And two, is he doing it to, Alan, do you think, cover his own rear, Or has he turned? Is he a turncoat at this point?
Well, or a third idea. Forget about turncoat. What about if, in fact, the Trump people are playing a card here?
Yes.
In other words, that's a possibility.
Of course.
Which is that once he gets the immunity and then says the sky is blue or there's ice in the icebox, there's nothing that anybody can do about it, and they're home safe. And remember that the Attorney General belongs to them.
That's right.
Mr. Comey, obviously, who's just spent an hour in the White House with the we don't know whether we're the president or not, but an hour in the White House, which hasn't been explained, is a possibility also. So we don't know who these guys are all reporting to. We have a pretty good idea who Jeff Sessions and the people in justice are, but what about everybody else? What about the FBI? That's a tough one.
I think Alan makes a really good point. I mean, all of this just shows the duplicity of these folks, you know, the locker up. And, you know, I think he wants to save his own butt. I don't think it's about being a turncoat. I think it's about saving his own butt, or there's another strategy going on, and he'll get his immunity and say absolutely nothing. It's one of these things where we won't know until we know, and then we'll know, and then we might not know anything.
I think he is a loose cannon mm-hmm. and kind of a crazy guy. That's why Obama got rid of him and Trump took him on, and this is karma.
And remember, this was his son was Pizzagate.
Yep.
Let's not forget that.
And Flynn also hired one of the two men who we now have connected to Nunes's Inspector Clouseau run to the White House. He was giving out secret information. A man, by the way, that McMaster, who replaced Flynn, wanted to fire. And who said, no, we must keep him? Bannon and Prince Jared. What's going on?
Right. It makes you pine away for G. Gordon Liddy and Howard Hunt.
It's pine away. We're reliving it, Libby. I felt last night like, oh, wow, this is Watergate all over again.
Oh, it is Watergate, but with
it's
a
like
much...
the hearings.
Yes, with a much greater consequence.
And the game is much more loaded, if you think about it, because there were some Democrats in the game in mm-hmm. Watergate, which you don't have right now in terms of positions of power.
So meanwhile, you have at least three senior White House officials, including the top lawyer for the National Security Council, involved in the handling of intelligence files that were shared with the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee and showed that Trump campaign officials were swept up in U.S. surveillance of foreign nationals, according to U.S. officials. This is the story that both Alan and Libby, and I guess Rosemary alluded to just a moment ago. The White House role in the matter contradicts assertions by the committee's chairman, Devin Nunes, of California, and adds to mounting concerns that the Trump administration is collaborating with the leader of the House Intelligence Committee's investigation of Russian meddling in the 2016 election. I'm very confused by this story because when this was released by the New York Times yesterday, the Times initially broke the story and then the Washington Post quickly had a follow-up. And my question is, because the White House then said they were going to make the information available. They were going to make the information available to Adam Schiff and other Democrats and other members, top members of the committees, both Senate and House. Then the question came during the press conference with Sean Spicer yesterday, would it be the same information that Nunes said? And they said he could not answer that question.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that doesn't make any sense. So if you're just going to share some information but not the information, then that is an apples and oranges mm-hmm. comparison as far as I'm concerned, correct?
It is, and several publications are raising the question of why were a lawyer and a senior advisor to the National Security Council, the Mike Flynn's assistant, why were they going through these intelligence reports?
Right.
So Bart Gellman, who is a brilliant investigative reporter, he won the Pulitzer on the Snowden revelations, is saying, is the White House spying on the FBI? And Comey's in the White House today, so that raises all kind of speculations. And then the New York Times is just simply asking, were they in there looking for information to support the ludicrous wiretapping charges that Trump made?
You know, this all undermines any sense of credibility that the present administration has. You know, you have who's the top cop? It's Comey. Who does he answer to? Sessions. Sessions has to accuse himself from any of this. Nobody's in charge and everybody's in charge. And the real person pulling all the strings is Steve Bannon. And it's like, what? You know, it's there's a shadow government of a shadow government of a shadow government.
It's time to bring Pete Seeger singing Lionel Trilling's When in Question, I Just Lie.
Absolutely, because that's exactly what's going on. And we can't trust them to police themselves. You know, it's the foxes in the hen house.
So I begin thinking yesterday, okay, this is it. This will be what turns people around. And I go to right-wing sites and the anti-Trumpers on Facebook. And it's unbelievable. It's still the silly alleged Russian connection.
Right, the pro-Trumpers on Facebook, not the anti-Trumpers.
Yeah, right. That was right. You know, the Trumpers. Yeah.
Look, you're going to get these people. They're going to believe whatever they want to believe. It's, you know, confirmation bias. And that's what's going to happen. And, you know, we see some polling where Republican men are starting to leave the Trump camp. He'll keep his 30% because they want to believe he's right, because they want to believe
they made a good choice.
They made a good choice, and their racism and their xenophobia and everything else is the way to go.
Hey, it won't be the first time in history, will it?
No kidding. No, not at all.
You know, Alan, you've said for a long, long time that once those poll numbers start to go down, you're going to see members of the House and Senate Republicans start to jump off. And even over the past week, and certainly over the past 2 days, we have seen House Republicans and senators say, look, there's something here. There's too much going on for there not to be something here. And at the end of the day, we got to figure out what happened. Because even if it had nothing to do with the election, still, they were influencing, the Russians were influencing mm-hmm. and hacked into our election. And oh, by the way, says Marco Rubio, they did it to me yesterday.
Right. And oh, by the way, you know, after this congressional session is over, I have to start running again for 2018. And they don't want the stink of this on their campaigns. So,
by the way, the more that we are hearing about Vladimir Putin himself and what he's up to, the more interesting all of this gets.
No kidding.
Well, certainly.
I've said that from the beginning. He's the most corrupt man in the world. Also the richest, Vladimir Putin. And the happiest right now.
It wasn't just Rubio. It was somebody else, too, that said
they were hacked,
and I forget who it was. I'll have to check the article.
It also is not helping.
Well, the Clinton campaign.
Right.
You know that.
It also is not helping that Trump is not jollying up his fellow Republicans in the House, especially. He has gone after the Freedom Caucus.
The ostensibly called Freedom Caucus.
Yeah, the ostensibly, which, you know, I sort of, again, I feel that sense of joy, like, oh, yeah, those guys are getting it, too. But they are feeling no compulsion to support him.
No, it's great. It's great. There's no, you know, I think people thought there'd be some type of rigidity, or they'll go back to being their regimented selves. And there is not any of that. They're not disciplined. The discipline is gone.
Except that one of them quit, right?
Yes, just one.
Just one.
Right.
But one only wonders what communication that one had.
Yes.
After all, if Trump is now threatening them openly, can we dismiss the hypothesis that perhaps that guy knuckled under?
Well, let's not forget those guys got elected on this platform of, you know, anti-Obamacare, anti-government, and who are they going to put up to primary them but people like that, and they're not necessarily going to end up being beholden to Trump.
And Trump, after the great defeat on the health care bill, had nothing but praise for these guys, right? So they're wonderful. They're wonderful. And then the following day, he turns around and says, I'm going to run people against them. You know, this is very Trumpian.
All right. We're going to take a break. We have a lot more to discuss, and we will do just that after this short break. We welcome your letters, panel at WAMC.org, panel at WAMC.org. A Friday morning and another panel, and we welcome you to our discussion, WAMC.org, if you want to check us out online. And Alan, do you want to share the good news?
The good news is
yes?
You can hear the app anywhere. Rosemary, you could hear it here, you could hear it in Australia, or you could hear it on Fire Island.
Oh.
Or you can hear it in Bosnia.
Yeah, wherever you may go.
Right.
So, yes, the app is up and running, so we want you to be aware of that. That's all good news. We have a few letters. Let's get to those, and then we'll move on to some other topics. We merged a lot into that last segment because I think we had a lot of those as single stories of Katie Walsh and the story about the...
We didn't really talk about Katie.
No, we'll get to all of
this.
All right. So Everett writes, Mr. Flynn is not in a bargaining position. He should be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. How absurd. Of course the Republicans will give him cover. Janice writes, knew he would turn on his boss just as he did to Obama and Clinton. He's a vengeful, loose cannon and somewhat crazy, in my opinion. I don't think he can get immunity according to law unless he tells what he knows beforehand. Watch Law and Order.
I was going to say the same thing. I was going to quote Law and Order because that's my kind of law. Law and Order law.
Alan, you argued that we wouldn't know until after he got immunity and told everything. I don't think that's how it works.
Yes.
In Law and Order, they say, I need to know before I give you immunity.
They say off the record. That's what they
say. Right. But they want to know.
Yeah, but they want to know before what you got to do. However, I've seen a couple of Law and Orders where they get double-crossed.
Of course. Of course.
Bob in Milford writes, even if he gets immunity, you won't be able to count the times he'll utter the phrase, I don't recall.
Remember.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then Todd from New Paltz says, can Flynn be compelled to testify under subpoena? Why allow him to make his own terms to tell the truth? I say force him to testify.
Well, now that's an interesting one. You know, I'm not a lawyer, of course, and my law, as I just said, is limited to you know what. However, I think in order to compel them to testify, you need to give them immunity. In other words, you need to give them at least use immunity.
You can compel testimony, but that does not trump the Fifth Amendment. So he could get up there under subpoena and say, I refuse to testify on grounds that could incriminate me. If you get his cooperation, i.e. give him immunity, then he comes up and he goes, this is what Trump did, and Pence was there too.
Or I don't remember.
Or baloney, yeah. Right.
Right. And now he has immunity.
So there seems to be this morning, all of the news sources that I listen to say, well, so far House and Senate investigative officials mm-hmm. are refusing to comment and are not right. saying whether they're going to give him immunity
well,
or not.
Well, they have to go to the prosecutors, Joe. That's the way it's usually done.
And that's the problem here. Yes, it's going to Jeff Sessions and his people.
Right.
Because Sessions has, recused himself.
Oh, yeah. That really is so convincing the way he recused himself.
Right. You know, I think I don't think we'll see anything out of the House. I think we'll see the Senate.
You know, I was going to say, aren't you at least a little heartened by the yes. progress of the Senate yeah. Intelligence Committee? The fact that the two head guys are working in a bipartisan yeah. matter. They seem to be on the same page. They're actually I love the guys they brought in yesterday. Oh, my gosh. I was totally engrossed in that, where the FBI agent was saying really nasty things about Trump. My bias is showing. Sorry.
Well,
Yeah.
You know, the folks that are in the Senate.
Sorry.
I think while the Senate is incredibly,
taller chair, we can see your bias now.
Right. But while the Senate is still very partisan, I think the folks that are there have more of a respect for the institution and the sense of we're the upper house than the folks in Congress.
Well, they aren't just a Keystone Cop. Like,
right.
Well,
I know. Well, that's
oh
it.
My God.
That's the thing.
I mean, I can give him credit for wanting to protect his guy. I mean, all right, that's what you do.
Protect yourself first.
But he's so incompetent at it. Right. He made Trump look guilty, and he made himself look like an idiot.
Well, your lips to God's ear, as far as I'm concerned. Nevertheless, there are some major differences between these two guys, the top Democrat and Republican. And one of them is, should they get Trump's income tax returns?
Sorry, Alan, you're talking about the two guys in the Senate committee?
Yeah. Warner and Burr.
Strigulli. Burr. Yeah. When I don't know a name, I just say Strigulli. Okay, Strigulli.
I think we eat that in Italian families.
No, that's Stromboli. That much I know.
Strigulli.
Strigulli was our third grade math teacher.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. All right. Let me go to this story of Katie Walsh, and then we'll move on to some of the other things that are happening. One of President Trump's top aides, White House aide Katie Walsh, is abruptly leaving her West Wing post only 2 months into the administration. Several senior White House officials confirmed Thursday. Walsh, who had been serving as deputy chief of staff and was considered chief of staff Reince Priebus' closest ally inside the administration, is going to work with a pro-Trump outside group to help bolster the president's agenda. It was abundantly clear we didn't have air cover, Priebus said in an announcement referring to support in the form of television advertisements. No one can fix this problem better than Katie Walsh. Do you buy that?
I have no idea what he means by air coverage. I think this story, if you read the amazing, amazing Jane Meyer story in New Yorker about the Mercer family, in that story it talks about how the Mercers wanted Kellyanne Conway to take the job that Katie Walsh is now taking. They always intended for a high-level person who had worked with Trump during the campaign to come out and work in this outside group that's going to bolster him and do all sorts of things that I know I'm going to hate in the future. And I think that they were lobbying for her after it became clear that Kellyanne was going to stay in there. That said, there's no question that we're seeing another battle in the fight between Priebus and Bannon for control of the heart and, I would say, soul, but I don't think one exists in the White House, where Priebus has lost a top deputy and Bannon has now ousted one of the Priebus camp.
Do you guys remember the end of Miracle on 34th Street and that famous word where they see Santa Claus's cane and he says he was a great lawyer and then he says, maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe. It could also be, here's one I'd like to think of, it's purely hypothetical, which is, let's say you're an honest, good person and you've got a job in the White House and the stink is getting too great. And you don't want to go down when you assume that the ship is going to go down, and you say, okay, I'm out of here. Isn't that a possibility?
Do you see it's anything is possible, but do you see any evidence of that?
No.
I read the story really closely and looked up some other things. And
no, the only reason I say that,
she's a diehard.
The only reason I say that is it seems to me that when you get news stories about the people who are surrounding Governor Christie, and mm-hmm. they're going to jail now. They're going to jail. You saw the people in the Nixon administration. Colson and others, they went to jail. And, you know, look, I think it takes, if in fact you know something is bad, I think there's a probability or a possibility anyway that you desert the ship.
Well, I would love to have a John Dean in this administration, but I am not convinced it's Katie Walsh.
No, but I do think that she's leaving the ship. Why would she, unless, A, there's a tremendous amount of money, but money's not really an issue for these folks. And I think the power struggle is one thing, but I think that there are people, she's young, she's engaged, she wants to have a family. She doesn't want to raise her kids in jail. And so I think there is a lot of that thought going on right now.
This is wishful thinking. The Mercers wanted her, and you snap when the Mercers say they want something.
Well, they wanted Kellyanne. They didn't get her. But where is Kellyanne?
I was going to ask that question.
Where is Kellyanne Conway?
Checking out the microwaves in the White House. Oh, jeez.
Randy, I don't know if anybody watches the videos of Randy Rainbow. He does these great parodies. He did a wonderful parody with interviewing Kellyanne with the microwaves. It was great. If anybody finds it, it's a riot.
She has been exceedingly low-key.
Quiet since the microwave comment, actually.
And so Sean Spicer we get more of. I really just can't see him continuing for long. He's so ineffective.
You think?
For Trump and,
And he doesn't know.
Yeah, but he does what he's told.
That's what they want in a press secretary.
I think that is so important to them. He switches on a dime. He obfuscates. Frankly, he lies. Mm-hmm. And from all of that, that's an employee, if you're Donald Trump, you might like.
Right.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll move on to other subjects and we'll talk about some other things that were happening on the Hill yesterday. We'll be back after this short break.
Support for WAMC comes from Solid Ground, Center for a Balanced Life, Albany, offering mindfulness-based programs and workshops on or off-site addressing stress, caregiving, and grief for individuals, groups, and organizations. 518-339-9443. The Golden Notebook, Woodstock, hosting Zachary Palaccio of Fish and Game Hudson and author Project 258, Making Dinner at Fish and Game, Sunday, April 2nd at 2, goldennotebook.com. Arts Mid-Hudson and Barrett Art Center, presenting a call for submissions to We the People, Political Art in an Age of Discord, a juried exhibition, deadline April 17th, barrettartcenter.org. And DeMarchen Hudson, announcing last season designer fashions, shoes, and accessories at special store location 508 Warren Street during month of April only. Open Friday through Monday, DeMarchen.com.
Welcome back to the Roundtable. Senate Republicans aided by Vice President Mike Pence. I want to read this directly from the New York Times because I do love how it's worded. Senate Republicans aided by Vice President Mike Pence and an ailing Georgia colleague who gingerly made his way to the Capitol with the aid of a wheelchair and a walker voted Thursday to undo an Obama administration rule preventing states from blocking funding for family planning clinics that also provide abortions. The vote was one of a string of showdowns to reverse Obama-era regulations, but this one unfolded with all the drama of numerous past conflicts over abortion funding, with Mr. Pence casting the tie-breaking vote in his role as president of the Senate. Taking away money from Planned Parenthood, the bill's target, has been a long-standing goal of congressional Republicans, but earlier efforts were blocked by Democrats and President Barack Obama.
This is disgusting. I mean, really, this is really disgusting. Planned Parenthood is one of the great organizations in America. Okay, let's assume you just strip out the abortion, which I wouldn't do, of course. But let's say you just say, what about all the other stuff, the other 90% of what they do to to foster women's health in this country. This is, you want to talk about a real, we get upset about so-called feminist issues. This is one of the worst I have ever seen. These people are misogynists to a point of no return.
Go, Alan.
Right. I mean, you have a bunch of men sitting around a table discussing women's health care without the input of any women.
Of any women
whatsoever. And you have a bunch of white men. That's what this is. White Republican men deciding the only thing they want to regulate of all the things is a woman's vagina. That's it. That's all they want to regulate. And, you know, and they're making this now a states' rights issue. So we'll be good in New York because the governor is not going to defund Planned Parenthood here. But you're going to have millions of women across the country without access to primary health care because a lot of women go to Planned Parenthood for pap smears and basic gynecological care. 3% of what Planned Parenthood does is abortion services. The rest of it is primary preventive reproductive health care.
Well, worse than cutting off. This is bad enough, don't get me wrong, but worse than cutting off access to abortion is you shut down Planned Parenthood and you're going to have more call for abortion because that's where so many
people get
contraceptive help.
That's right.
So it's a stupid and it's just a self-defeating motion for the idea of we don't want any abortion, which is a noble goal. There are many women, they're not sitting at the table in this administration, this regime, but there are many women who are opposed to abortion and are happy about this. I get it, but you don't get your goal by defunding Planned Parenthood.
But these people are also opposed to contraception. They want women to be barefoot and pregnant. They think women, the only role for women is to bear children or to make sure that their husbands don't go away with somebody else. Like Mike Pence, he has to have his wife by his side if he's having dinner with another woman because,
that's,
you know,
a scary article.
He can't control himself, you know.
Well, both the impulses, the article that
the
came
impulse,
out. Yes.
Right.
He cannot dine alone with a woman unless his wife is with him.
And he can't drink.
And he can't be anywhere near alcoholic beverages unless his wife is
right.
With him.
And this is the man.
And she is his God warrior.
Oh, my
right.
gosh.
And this is the man who's second in line for the presidency, has no impulse control, just like the guy in the White House right now. No impulse control. What is that about?
36% of Americans think we've put the best person in the office.
Yeah, well, that's 36%, and then there's 64% who don't.
Here's one other thing, Libby. The North Carolina rule, the repeal of the transgender
bathroom bill.
Right, had some conditions on them. One of them is that until 2020, the localities in North Carolina cannot make their own decisions on anti-discrimination. It's up to the state. So therefore, no locality in North Carolina can really have Planned Parenthood
right.
now because the state will decide it.
That's right.
Isn't that convenient? Was this coordinated, would you say?
I don't know if it was coordinated. It was coordinated with the NCAA saying you need to make a decision by today, otherwise we're pulling all the tournaments.
So it's an economic decision.
It was an economic decision, but it's a bad bill. It's a bad compromise.
So say that slowly so all of us understand.
Okay.
Because you have one affecting the other, meaning that because of the law. Go ahead, Libby.
It's not causal. There's not a domino. But what it is here, Congress, the Senate is saying states' rights.
Yes.
Right.
It's
up to the state to defund Planned Parenthood. When HB2 was repealed yesterday, it took away communities' rights. So the state is now coming in to the communities, to towns and villages, and saying, cities, you cannot protect LGBT people until
now you're talking North Carolina.
Yes, North Carolina, correct. Right. Okay. The HB2 is in North Carolina. So this bill, which supposedly got rid of the bathroom discrimination against transgender people, is also institutionalizing discrimination because Raleigh and other communities that would like to protect LGBT people are banned from doing that in this bill.
And
it's
it
a bad bill.
Effect. It doesn't take effect. What, to 2020? Is that, am I
no,
right?
Well,
no, that part of
it.
That's until 2020. The other part of this that people don't understand is, okay, it gave the state the right to regulate the use of multi-seat bathrooms and showers and that sort of stuff. All they need to do is promulgate rules and regulations through the Department of Health, which is never seen, you know, it's always under the radar unless you're really watching that stuff. And they can do the same thing that they're doing now without anybody really noticing it.
I walked into the men's room by accident at the airport the other day.
I
saw a man coming out of the other door. I figured, one down the hall was. Yeah, that was. And I immediately realized and just hightailed it out of there. There was a woman in the hallway laughing at me. I said, "You did not see that." And it occurred to me that in some states I might have been arrested for that.
Well,
ridiculous.
There was a story last night on the news on the station on AMC. With a transgender policy person in North Carolina talking about this, about how people decide, transgender people don't eat. They
don't drink water or whatever.
Because
they don't want to go to the bathroom.
Because they don't want to have to go to the bathroom. And this person, this is a trans man, works down at the Capitol every day.
Jeez.
So can you imagine having to change what you drink, what you eat, to make sure you don't have to go to the bathroom?
You've been an activist for a long time, mm-hmm. Libby. Do you see this? Does it bother you? Do you take a win where you can get it, or does it bother you the fact that the NCAA and the money was actually what pushed this into happening?
Well, you know, this is not a win. I would take it as a win if this bill wasn't as onerous as it is.
Right.
You know, I get the economic part of this, and I applaud the NCAA and I applaud Deutsche Bank and PayPal for saying we're not coming to your state if you're going to discriminate against people. I think those entities will maybe not the NCAA, but business will continue to see that this is just discrimination with another hat on.
Is that the same Deutsche Bank that does all that business with Trump?
Yes.
That's ironic.
Money is money is money.
Well, I suppose that's right. Does anybody have any problem with the fact, and here comes the monkey wrench, does anybody have the problem with the fact that so many white women in America voted for this team? I mean, they knew where they stood on Planned Parenthood, and yet they voted for it.
Yes.
Explain.
Yeah, when we were counting votes for Trump before the election, when we still thought Hillary had a chance, we discounted women who believed in abortion. If you want to legislate away abortion, you had to vote for Trump. That's a deeply held mm-hmm. religious belief. You had to have it. But there are other women who voted for Trump who have different feelings about abortion. They're the ones I just don't know what they're thinking. I continue not to know about them. One of the most horrifying stories recently, my sister's on Facebook, she works for the Washington Post, she seems to be running a series of stories of people who got screwed by the current regime but still support him. And this was a woman whose husband was deported. He was a mm-hmm. Mexican immigrant who was undocumented. He had one of those people who was known to the government and reported regularly as he was told to do and had never committed a crime. He's been deported. He was picked up and deported. She still supported Trump. So how can I explain it?
You can't. You can't. You can't. You just can't.
Let's go to a letter or two. Martin writes, the idea that the Senate investigation will somehow be more professional and fruitful than the House investigation is a joke to me. This is the same Senate that violated a clear constitutional obligation by refusing to give Garland a hearing. Why mm-hmm. should I now expect them to act differently? Bottom line is that Trump is a Republican signature on their conservative bills, and that's all they care about. Fool me once, folks.
I like it.
You may be right, although I think there's like a growing taste to give it to Trump.
Only because you want to. Only because you want to believe
it. Wishful thinking on my part?
Yeah, I do.
You may be right.
Joan says, hey, Libby, you always hit the nail on the head. I also want to know why there are not more reports on Bannon's whereabouts and who he is communicating with outside of the U.S.
It's a really good question. But they don't let anybody in. You know, he's not an elected official. Yes, he works, but I don't think they let the press. I don't think he lets the press near him.
Neither does Tillerson.
Yeah, right. I know. It's
so
amazing.
Why would Ben?
Yeah.
Gosh.
All right. Let's go to another quick topic before we head over to news. And we do want to talk about the Freedom Caucus. Alan, you mentioned this earlier, but this idea of Donald Trump saying we must fight them and going after conservatives of the Freedom Caucus and basically saying, get on board or we will fight you and the Democrats in 2018.
And there's a reason for that, and that is they're trying to recreate the health care bill, their bill. And in order to do that, they need these guys. And so I'm sure they have approached them and said to them, what are you going to do? Are you going to be with us or not? because up until then they were only complimentary about them. Then when they say no, then hey, come on, Murray, this isn't so bad. Then
okay.
Then they go ahead and say they really stick it to them.
But we did see the threat aspect from both Steve Bannon and Donald Trump prior to the vote, which was not successful. So why would this then be successful?
Oh, well, no. I think, you know, hope springs eternal. And they think, look, if your basic character is that of a bully, you bully. That's all. I mean, what's new?
The real way to work with these with the caucus would be to know the policy ins and outs and to negotiate with them. And Trump does not know the policy. So what does he have left except for personality traits? So he is using the same sort of bullying, be strong tactics that worked for him in business.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we will continue. We have many letters. We also have many other topics to discuss, and we welcome your input, panel at WAMC.org. Alan Shartok, Rosemary Armeo, and Libby Post join us this morning. First, we have news from Ray Graff. We'll be back right after this. Good Friday morning to you. Welcome to the WAMC panel as we continue in our final 20 minutes or so. Alan Shartok, Rosemary Armeo, and Libby Post on board this morning. We welcome your letters, panel at WAMC.org. Let us start this segment by going to some of those letters. We begin with Peter, who writes, Republicans love your child until it's born. Then can I have health care? No. Daycare? No. A decent paying job? No. Good schools? No. Clean air? Clean water? Forget it. Ursula writes,
it's absolutely true. They don't care. And if the kid comes out gay, forget it.
Ursula writes, abortion is still legal as a colonoscopy, therefore must be covered by any health care. Anything else is not justifiable. No? Question mark.
Yes. However, you know that the Supreme Court is in play. Roe v. Wade may be, its days may be numbered.
And Ursula also adds, so glad to have Rosemary back.
Thank you.
Steve writes, this straight white Protestant male gives a monthly to Planned Parenthood. Gotta atone for Trump and Pence.
Thank you. Enlightenment is a wonderful thing.
Joseph writes, I agree wholeheartedly with the panel on this, but what I think is that Planned Parenthood ought to change their name, just like so many crooked businesses who declare bankruptcy to avoid prosecution and continue on as if nothing happened. I understand what he's getting at there, but I don't like the fact that it has to be done. Maggie says, exactly. Republicans talk about less regulations on everything except a woman's reproductive system. Stay away from my uterus.
Right. She's absolutely right.
By the way, she says, are you kidding me with Mike Pence and his prayer warrior? No. we are not kidding you.
Maybe we should call Planned Parenthood Men's Health Inc. And then they'll like it.
White Men's Health Inc.
Yeah, white men.
All right, let's go to other topics, and we begin, we continue and talk about the role of science in our current administration.
None.
What role?
That's the end of that discussion.
The New York Times reports that the Donald Trump administration has left many science jobs vacant. This is troubling critics. Scores of departures by scientists and Silicon Valley technology experts who advised President Trump's predecessor have all but wiped out the larger White House Office of Science and Technology Policy. On the fourth floor of the Eisenhower Executive Office Building, the staff of the White House Chief Technology Officer has been virtually deleted, down from 24 members before the election to, by Friday, one. Mr. Trump has not named his top advisors on technology or science, and so far has made just one hire. The former chief of staff for Peter Thiel, the Silicon Valley investor and one of the president's wealthiest supporters, as the deputy chief technology officer. Mr. Kratsios, I believe, Michael Kratsios, who has a bachelor's degree in political science from Princeton, nor anyone else still working in the science and technology office regularly participates in Mr. Trump's daily briefings, as they did for President Barack Obama. Alan.
Well, you know, this is a war on intellectualism. I've had the feeling right from the very beginning that in the sights, not only is Planned Parenthood, but our universities and scientific communities. And the thing here is that I truly think Trump may believe, this is what makes him dangerous, that he knows more than they do. I think that's mm-hmm. a possibility, mm-hmm. that he really thinks, I know that the Earth is not burning up, or I know that the ice caps aren't coming down, or I know this is all made up stuff. They're saying it's fake news. It points, I think, to a potential personality flaw in the president, and you are looking
potential,
at each other, and you are looking at each other and saying potential.
I know the world's flat is what he's thinking. I mean, you know, they don't. This war on science began in the Bush administration, at George Bush's administration. The war on intellectualism has been going on for a very, very long time. That's why we see, you know, public schools being under attack. And I mean, we had it here in Saratoga. It was in the Times Union this morning. A teacher showed some political cartoons and asked their students to talk about and analyze media. And parents, there were some moms for conservatives or something like that.
Dear, I didn't
you know,
see
oh
that.
Yeah, it was in the TU this morning. Got their knickers in a twist because the teacher asked the students to think.
Wow, I would like to point out that it is exactly science and technology that made America great. And those are the very things that Trump is attacking. So it goes against
starting with Columbus.
Exactly.
Right.
And not only that, but it isn't just about the science. This is not a war between religion and science. Science has absolute geopolitical consequences. And you can bet that right now Putin is moving in on the Arctic, because under the Arctic, which is clearing because of global warming, are something like one-third to one-half of the remaining oil and gas reserves in the world, and the Russians are there ready to move on it, and we're not, because we don't believe in global warming.
Let me ask you guys a question. If you put the well-known lie detector cuff on Trump's arm and say to him, now look, do you believe that the world isn't facing climate change or whatever else? Do you think you get a flat line, meaning that he's telling the truth when he says yes, or do you believe you get a wavy line?
I don't think there'll be any line.
There has to be.
That's not a good answer.
Yeah, no. I think that he is totally convinced that he is right, he can do no wrong, and he's doing the right thing. I think the line would be whatever it has to be, telling the truth.
You know, the other part of this is it's the science denial, but it's the funding cuts to the National Institutes of Health, and the research cuts. What happens when we have another Ebola crisis? What happens when there's another pandemic of some sort and there's no money and there's nobody left at the CDC?
And what happens to the cancer research?
That's right.
Or, God forbid, the Alzheimer's research, which everybody has some touch with, is in touch with in some way. The numbers are frightening. You get over 80, and I think it's 50-50, something like that. It's just unbelievable. What happens when you take that money away?
They don't care. People with Alzheimer's don't buy, designer dresses and shoes and buy real estate in Manhattan. It's totally economic decisions now.
Let us move on to another topic, which is the nomination of Neil Gorsuch to the Supreme Court and where Democrats and Republicans stand. Democrats need 41 senators to filibuster President Trump's Supreme Court nominee. 32 Democrats have said they support a filibuster. If Democrats filibuster, Republicans might choose to use the so-called nuclear option. We heard yesterday two Democrats have now come on and said that they support the nomination of Neil Gorsuch. I believe they are now up to the 52 out of the 60 votes that they would need.
Well, the reason that that's happening, Joe, is, and you can just see where Chuck Schumer is in all of this. Those two senators who have switched to the pro-Trump side here, to the Gorsuch side, those two senators are facing very mm-hmm. rough re-election. So you're Chuck Schumer, you scratch your head, you say, okay, would I rather lose them in the name of intellectual honesty, or will I allow them, as they say in politics, to get off the hook and not remain, quote, in the tank?
So the four Democrats who are up for re-election in 2018, Dianne Feinstein, Angus King, Robert Menendez, and Benjamin Cardin. So if you are them and you are in states that are traditionally blue, what's the thinking there?
Well, it depends, because remember, there are other things that are going on with these guys. So, for example, Mendez has, I believe, a criminal case that he has to worry about.
Yeah, he does.
So you have to think that it isn't only this. They have a long line of things they have to put in place and think about. But I do believe that the blue states are going to stay true on this. The blue senators are going to stay true on this.
Seven Democrats can vote for Gorsuch, and they can still stop the nomination if the nuclear option is not pulled. Here's my thinking on that. Why are you keeping the powder dry? Use it right now. What is the point of, like, conceding and giving him the votes to get in, and then the next opening on the Supreme Court, which is the crucial one that'll switch it forever? It won't be 5-4. It'll be 6-3. You're going to use the nuclear option. You're going to then filibuster and give McConnell the chance to use the nuclear option then? Why? What's the difference? Use it now and try to do something.
You couldn't be more right.
Fire up the Democratic base. There's plenty of reasons not to vote for Gorsuch on the merits of his completely pro-corporate decisions. He is not a fighter for the little man. This is not just tit for tat getting back at him for the way McConnell handled the last nomination. There's real reasons not to vote for him.
This is Citizens Union speaking.
Yeah,
that's what this
absolutely.
Is.
Absolutely.
Citizens United.
Citizens United.
That's what this is.
Citizens United.
For the four senators, Sherrod Brown, Joe Donnelly, Claire McCaskill, and John Tester are the four who are undecided or unclear, who are all in solid Trump states, who would be up for re-election next year.
Right. I can't imagine Sherrod Brown not going along with the Democratic majority.
I think you're right, because every day I get a request for – I don't send money to anybody, by the way, but I get a request for money from Sherrod Brown, and they're always touting his very liberal credentials.
He's very liberal. He's also he actually has real integrity, and I just can't see that. But, yeah, Schumer has to keep it. Seven can defect. So he's got to pick out those and hope that the others – I can't imagine Feinstein voting for him either.
No, I don't think so, and she's safe.
She's been there long enough, and she would
she's
win.
Safe.
So,
meanwhile, how long do you think this process is going to take? And ultimately, he'll probably get the nod, right?
Yeah. Unfortunately, I think you're right. But I think it'll be dragged out for as long as it can be.
I applaud those in the resistance, and I think this is part of that.
Yeah. I think we have to keep the pressure on. I mean, look, we didn't think we were going to get health care, and we did. We managed to stop it. So you never know what we might be able to do here. And he might be like, this is not worth it, and say, I'm done. But that's far-fetched. But,
Gorsuch?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Nah.
Oh, no.
He's
he was very comfortable. I listened to parts of the hearing. He was extremely combative and very self-assured. I mean, there's no question he's a brilliant man, but to use it to what end is the issue here?
They asked him about LGBT stuff, and he goes, well, they're just people.
Yeah, that was charming.
Yeah.
Tell me what you think of this. No, I'm not going to give you my personal opinion. Well, why? Don't you think it has anything to do with how you... No, you don't have any right to know that. And it was just very, very dismissive. And of course, then you had the fawning Republicans. I think you're amazing. Mm-hmm. I love the way you're asking the questions here. Oh, my gosh. It was hard to listen to.
Final story for the morning. We go to China hours after the official announcement that he will meet with the Chinese president for the first time next week. President Trump took to Twitter to reassure his supporters that he would stand up for their interests. Quote, the meeting next week with China will be a very difficult one in that we can no longer have massive trade deficits and job losses, he tweeted. American companies must be prepared to look at other alternatives. The U.S. leader also plans to sign two executive actions today that will launch reviews of U.S. trade policy and that could serve as preludes to more severe White House decisions regarding tariffs and trade trade agreements. But in contrast to Trump's tough talk on trade, the tone at a Chinese foreign ministry news conference on Friday morning was conciliatory, downplaying differences, and talking up the chance to take the relationship to a new level in a new era.
Well, good luck with that. I think the Chinese are incredibly happy with what Trump's done, and starting with the pulling back on TPP, which would not have helped China. They are in a great position. He tried to be tough at the beginning by talking with Taiwan. He backed away from that.
Russia's happy.
Yeah.
Everybody else is happy but us.
Yep.
You know, because he's playing to everyone else's economic interest.
36% of us is very happy.
But 64% isn't.
Well, he's going to negotiate. Look, he's setting himself up to have a tougher negotiating posture. And he may well get some help from the Chinese on this. Because we are at a disadvantage, obviously. It's of our own making. We have created a way in which people in the United States aren't doing the manufacturing that they could be and should be. But yet I have a feeling that when that meeting is over, because, by the way, by the time most of these things take place, the deal is already set. You're going to find that the Chinese are going to give us something.
Oh, but let's not forget, this is a president who has boasted he loves debt, right? And China owns a lot of our debt.
Absolutely. So what's the impact of that?
Well, it just means that, you know, he thinks he's smarter than these people, and he'll be able to get one over on them. So, who knows what'll happen, but I do think that everyone else is happy. You know, Putin, China, all the major powers, because we're being weakened.
Yeah, definitely weakened. And also expected to come out here. A trade war is one thing. There are some people who think he's softened his stance on that whole thing, that his executive action today is to put up a committee to study it. So that would be interesting. But also there's the pollution. There's no way the United States will meet its agreements under the Paris Accord. And so China has stepped up, actually, as a leader in stopping pollution.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It's, yeah.
And all those miners
what his end game is.
All those miners are going to go back to work, don't you know?
Yeah.
Again, as Rosemary just said, good luck with that.
Yeah, right.
All right. We are out of time. I want to thank everyone who participated and wrote a letter and listened. We, of course, thank our panelists. Libby, thank you for filling in. Rosemary, thank you very much for being here. Welcome back. Very nice to have you back. Alan, take care of yourself. Have a good weekend.
And a special thanks to Murray for his contribution.
Absolutely.
Always. All right.
We'd like to have a dog on the panel. Balances things out.
Absolutely. Have a great weekend. We'll be back and continue the program after this short break.